Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael. Glad you could be with us this evening. We'll be talking a lot of different sports topics on tonight's program with some great guests lined up for you. So let's first bring in our leadoff guest on the phone lines. It's Tim Shovers, the executive producer for ESPN 980 Radio, to talk about the Redskins and training camp. Tim, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Thanks, guys, for having me on.
It's our pleasure, Tim. Everything in full swing with training camp down in the D.C. area. First of all, before we talk about some camp issues, I just want to talk about Kirk Cousins. Obviously, some time ago was labeled the franchise tag. And with some teams, when that is applied, there's some friction between the player or player and team, or even the player and teammates. It seems like everyone agreed on this franchise tag, or they really couldn't agree on a long-term deal. And so it seems that everyone is at peace with this deal. But heading into training camp, do you think this will be an issue at all, the idea of the franchise tag label being put on Kirk Cousins?
I don't think it'll be an issue at all in training camp. Mm-hmm. I think when it'll become an issue is later in the season after a game in October when he maybe has three interceptions. And, you know, people start talking about, all right, where's his value? And we have that weekly watch there. But for this, for training camp, where it's reps and it's drills and it's film sessions and walkthroughs, I don't think it'll be much of an issue. All the players talked about how they didn't really pay much attention to it. It's just the business of football. Cousins today pointed out that despite the uncertainty after this year, he was making $600,000 last year and making $19 million this year. So he's doing pretty well himself. So overall, for training camp at Richmond, I don't see it being really a distraction.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be a smooth first couple weeks. But it begs the question, as you brought up, once the season starts and things don't go well, what will be the reaction from everyone? How confident are you, and how confident do you think the Redskins are that Kirk Cousins can at least come close to the kind of season he had last year?
I expect it. You look at last year, that was his first full season as a starter, and He's had – it wasn't like he was a rookie and had that sort of season where – the league can kind of catch up to on film. He's had 4 years under his belt. He's now entering year five, year three in the system with Jay Gruden. Jordan Reed is an elite weapon in the NFL. You can make the argument he's the best tight end in the NFL, not named Rob Gronkowski. You look at the star receivers and Garcon and DeSean Jackson, and once Josh Doctson gets healthy, based on what we saw at TCU, looks like he's a weapon. So to me, I anticipate another very similar season by Cousins this year.
Mm-hmm. What's the atmosphere around the locker room right now with training camp now in full swing? Obviously, I imagine things got to be a little bit different from last year. Many times they were underdogs to being the defending division champions. Has there been any more tension or any more excitement this year? And how do you think the players will respond when inevitably there's more pressure placed upon them once the season starts?
Well, it's kind of weird here in D.C. It's been a very non-drama-filled offseason. The only real issue was the Cousins contract talk, but either way how that shook out, he was going to be on the team for 2016. Mm-hmm. So it's a rare year where you have a set head coach, a set starting quarterback, coming off a very strong season where they went to the playoffs and won the division. So it's sort of odd how the era of good feelings lasted from January all the way to training camp.
Now, obviously, and unfortunately, there was some news within the last 24 hours on the injury front. The number one pick, Josh Doctson, placed on the physically unable to perform list after missing time already with an Achilles injury. What's the latest on his condition, and what's the timetable for an eventual return for him?
Not to dodge the question, but no one really knows. You know, he hurt himself kind of day one after he was drafted on the practice field in Ashburn, and that was in May, and here we are in late July, basically August, and he's still injured, and no one really has a handle on when he's going to get over that Achilles tendon. We don't even have a firm diagnosis of what's going on. I mean, you know, if he was out in the field Monday or if he missed the first two, three preseason games, nothing would surprise me at this point. It seems like they're being a little coy.
Yeah. Did it surprise you at all that he was placed on the PUP list?
Not really, because I feel like if he was going to be fully healthy for day one, we would have heard about that last week. You know, usually you're on the PUP list if you are not healthy entering training camp. So I thought that was the right move, and I was kind of expecting that.
Oh, you were. Another injury, of course, Junior Gillette was placed on the NFI list due to working out on his own. And I want to ask you about that first before how it affects the Redskins. What's the feeling on that? Because obviously the NFI list is a nice thing. If a player does something stupid, it protects the team. You don't have to pay him. But he was trying to do the right thing. He was trying to work out. It was just not on Redskins time. But how do you think that's going to play out?
I don't think it's going to be really much of an issue there. Mm-hmm. He's already talked about his desire once he gets healthy to be on the Redskins in 2017. Yeah. Now he's saying that in July. Who knows how he'll feel months down the road or even a year down the road. But I don't really, you know, a lot of people don't really pay attention to those sort of designations, get caught up on it like you and I would obsess over it. So I don't really think that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, I know he was on social media, on Twitter, tweeting out that hold the faith, I'll be back. And he seems obviously optimistic that he's going to return this year. But it brings the question up, what do they do as far as replacements? I know Trent Murphy was moved from outside linebacker to defensive end. I don't know if that's even a possibility that they would move him back, or is there any? Has there been any contingency plan or talk about what they might do going forward?
There's a lot of strong optimism about Preston Smith, who will be entering his second season, who they drafted a year ago out of Mississippi State. A lot of people are saying he could be really make the jump here in year two. Sua Cravens, no one exactly knows where he's going to line up on the field yet, but people are really excited out of the rookie out of Southern Cal. And most are expecting, even despite the injury to Gallette, that this defense is going to be much better in year two under defensive coordinator Joe Barry. Yeah.
Has there been any other injuries of concern or any other news today?
Nothing really of note. Sean LaValle was placed on the physically unable to perform list, and I think that was a surprise only because I just don't think people really have been thinking about Sean LaValle in the offseason. Certainly got hurt a year ago, but for a first day, came out, sounds like unscathed, but obviously a real tough blow to start the week with that very unexpected Gallette season-ending injury. Yeah.
Our leadoff guest tonight on RCN Sports Talk, Tim Shovers, executive producer and update anchor for Redskins Radio. I think one of the big things to watch at camp will be Josh Norman, and I was told that he matched up a little bit with DeSean Jackson today. I don't know if you saw that, but how has Josh been working in to the mix defensively, and how has he been working himself in terms of the locker room?
Well, he became like the most popular guy at Ashburn, Virginia from the day in which he landed and signed with the team. Obviously, people have been really excited about him matching up with DeSean Jackson, and there's just a lot of real excitement with adding a star like that. It was such an unexpected thing that happened in the offseason out of nowhere. An all-pro like that coming off an NFC champion basically falls into the Redskins' lap. And, every time you match up with DeSean Jackson, that's going to be a thing, but everyone's really paying attention to when he gets to match up twice a year now with Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, yeah. And as far as competition at camp, what are some of the places you're watching position-wise, the best battles for spots, and also as far as roster spots, looking down the road to cut day in a couple of weeks? So where are some of the more interesting battles the Redskins fans should watch in the next few weeks?
I think the main thing to watch for is running back. Matt Jones right now is the leader in the clubhouse, and you got Chris Thompson. Keith Marshall was drafted. Also, Mac Brown is on the roster. No big names there. Are they going to bring in another name potentially? Are they going to be monitoring sort of teams' cut list there with running back? Obviously, Alfred Morris went to the rival Cowboys. So many pieces of this offense are set, except running back seems to be the shadiest of the bunch right now. In terms of roster spots, you know, it's too hard to tell right now. Need a few practices under our belts. Obviously, all the late-round draft picks, all the guys they brought in, certainly are a little worried about each and every cut day that's going to be upcoming. But I think the main thing to look for this year is running back.
As far as the crowd, I heard there was close to, if not 1,000 people out between the two sessions today. What's the atmosphere like among fans in the Washington area, obviously with higher expectations this year and hopefully for Redskins fans a lot more wins, a lot more success in the postseason coming up in 2016.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the last time they won the division, remember, RG3 famously tears his ACL, so that was the storyline all of the offseason coming into their year as defending division champs. He didn't play the whole preseason. We know how that turned out moving forward. Now he's in Cleveland. So this was such a rare year where they won the division, they kept their coach, kept the quarterback. People were just really excited, and not like any of the other division rivals made a great move. Philadelphia seems like they're in a little bit of turmoil with quarterback. You look at the Giants, not like they added any big piece. They got a new coach, of course. And then Dallas, though Romo is expected to be healthy, it seems like every other day a defensive player on their team suspended. So people are really excited here in D.C. about this season.
Tim, I know it would be completely unreasonable and unfair of me to ask you this question, to handicap a win total at this point with just a couple hours of training camp under your belt for this season, or even to look ahead to the playoffs. But if I had to pin you down, where are you looking at as far as win totals or playoffs for the Redskins?
I have no problem making myself look silly here in late July. I'll go with 10 wins for 2016.
10 wins. All right. Sounds very good. And before we let you go, if you could let people know about something that I think is a great program, Through the Quad, a show that you do, something that college football fans really need to listen to. Could you tell people about how to find that show and also a little bit about how much fun that is to do?
Oh, really appreciate that. Yeah, Through the Quad, we spell it T-H-R-U. Myself and Tim Murray, we are both huge college sports fans. Living here in D.C., as you know, NFL is king here, so we like to get our niche here and there. You can go to ESPN980.com. Also, download the podcast on iTunes, and we do kind of once every 2 weeks in the summer as the news is thin, but as the season approaches, we do every week, look back at the past games, and also a little bit of a local angle here, a lot of Maryland and a lot of Penn State talk as well.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great show. I remember you were talking about a countdown. I forget how many days it is, though. How many days till college football starts? You know that offhand?
I don't know offhand, but I know we're under a month if you count that Cal-Hawaii game. This year, the week before Labor Day, Cal and Hawaii are playing down under in Australia, so that's when the season kicks off.
Yeah, it's closing in fast on us. Well, Tim, thanks so much. Hopefully a great season for you, the Redskins, and, of course, on the radio network as well.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's Tim Shovers, executive producer, ESPN 980, Redskins Radio in the Washington area. Very optimistic about the Redskins with their training camp now underway. And in a few minutes, we're also going to talk a little bit about Eagles training camp, along with some other high school sports issues as well. Right now, time for a trivia question, though. We give you a chance of to win tonight's special prize, and it is NFL related. What NFL quarterback has the record for most passes thrown in a single game? There was some controversy about this a few years ago, so this might stump some of our viewers. But again, tonight's question, what NFL quarterback has the record for most passes thrown in a single NFL game? Here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
All right, one more time tonight's question. What NFL quarterback has the record for most passes thrown in a single game? People listening to us on the podcast can also play along by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. In just a moment after our break, we'll bring in our special studio panelists. But first, our first feature of the evening involves the Nationals' top minor league affiliate. They've lost three of their last games to Lehigh Valley, but right now their team features four of the organization's top pitching prospects, including Lucas Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez, and Austin Voth. We caught up with Chiefs manager Billy Gardner to talk with him about the recent slump of his team and also about the addition of some high-quality pitching prospects.
Just can't get over the hump. I mean, we do some things well, and then we make some mistakes against a really good club. And you're playing these guys, and they got a good lineup. They're athletic. They beat you a lot of different ways. They got good pitch from front to back. You just can't afford to make any mistakes. And we made a few today that led to runs and cost us.
Could you talk about Austin's performance? He looked like he was really in a groove, and he's had some nice outings lately, but just not a consistent outing.
Yeah, he did a good job for us. You know, we're thin down the bullpen, and we need some innings out of it. He gave us six, and, you know, I think he started running out of gas there a little bit. But, again, you know, those things we did behind him, we didn't make some plays, and it cost him.
Could you talk about what it's like to have this pitching staff, all the top prospects right now, Giolito, Lopez, Voth, are all on your staff right now?
Well, we've only seen them a little bit because they've been going up and down, you know. So, but you know, they all, you know, Lopez and Giolito have, you know, high ceilings and, you know, big arms, and you know, we're looking forward to seeing them pitch. And I know, you know, once they go out there, they give us a chance to win.
Is there anything specific each one has to work on right now to get back up?
Well, I think it's always, you know, command and being able to, you know, develop your secondary pitches, being able to throw something over on a fastball because, you know, they got big arms, they got high velo, but, you know, at the major league level, you know, velo is not something that really bothers a lot of hitters up there, so you need to have all the stuff to go with it and you be able to throw for strikes.
Has it been tough with all the changes and players going up and down to have continuity?
Well, it's just part of it. You know, I mean, we deal with it. We take what we have for that day and go out and do, you know, the best we can to win a game. And, you know, we're here for the Major League Club. We're inventory. You know, if they have a need, we need to send somebody up there. That's just how it works.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. We are happy to bring in our panelists. Well, I'm happy to bring in one of our two panelists here. Joe's giving me a hard time. From the Express Times, sports writer extraordinaire, Josh Volk.
I'm giving you a hard time. I haven't said a word.
And the man who passed up an invitation to give a speech at an event going on down in Philadelphia tonight, but we're happy he's here instead. What is going on now? Is there anything been going on in Cleveland and Philly the last 2 weeks? I haven't been paying attention to that kind of stuff.
Actually,
Joseph Linwood Craig.
I haven't been paying any much attention. I'm up to here with politics.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's been lasting too long, so I don't even want to talk about it. Good to be here, though, Chris. Always good to be here, and especially in the summer. And things are starting to warm up now because now it's, you know, college, the pros are starting to practice with, you know me, football season's coming.
You've been complaining that we don't do football and basketball season.
Yeah,
there should be pro games.
They should start playing the games in June.
All right. Well, I want to get to Josh because he's been busy. I mean, I run into him at Cedar Beach. He's covering basketball one day.
He's
had a soccer match, and then he wrote a great, and hopefully people read this article.
Maybe
a very
you
good
want to
start.
Introduce him first.
I did.
I know.
Please pay attention to him.
You know,
what we're
just,
doing.
You know, stop talking. Let him talk.
Did you have
a
vacation?
You always tell me to be animated and do things. I'm doing that. I'm doing exactly what you told me to do.
I've never told you. Now, Josh, before I was rudely interrupted, you wrote a great article this week on Saquon Barkley, who I think is one of the great stories of people coming from the Lehigh Valley. And we had him on the show between his junior and senior year. And we see people all the time that are progressing and look like they're going to be great stars at the college level. And in the senior year, they don't seem to take it as seriously. Saquon certainly didn't. I mean, he bulked up between the end of basketball season when we saw him here in May. He was bulked up. And he's been a great story because for many different reasons. But, Josh, don't interrupt him. I didn't even ask the first question.
I was going to say, and a great kid.
Yes, he is.
Which is great. Wonderful.
Josh, could you talk a little bit about Saquon Barkley? And for people that didn't see it, it's available at LehighValleyLive.com.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about some of the sound bites and information you had.
I mean, he's just, it's incredible what he did last year at Penn State. I mean, going in from Whitehall, I never thought, I mean, I knew he'd be good. I mean, and he said himself, he wanted to see some playing time as a freshman, but I don't think he ever expected to break the Penn State freshman rushing record. I mean, there's so many great running backs over the years at Penn State. And he was able to break a freshman rushing record and just took, I mean, everybody talked about him nationally because he was leaping over defenders and just such an exciting plays, and he's just like Joe said, he's such a great guy to talk to and very down to earth. He comes back to Whitehall, he says, and doesn't think of himself as a celebrity. I mean, he's still Say-Say, his nickname, and everyone still, I mean, he still just comes back and visits the Whitehall.
He hasn't forgot where he's come from. You know,
I mean,
which is,
I know it's only 1 year, but I mean, still, young guys get all that attention and goes to their head, and I mean, a lot of times their ego takes off, but I mean, with him, it's he's just a great guy. I mean, last year he was Penn State's best player. I mean, basically, I mean, you felt Christian Hackenberg didn't have the greatest year, really, and they turned to him and out of nowhere. And he
wait, we're gonna get hate mail now because you're ripping someone who went to Penn State here.
But you know,
be careful now.
Josh, he did that that performance he had with a not an average to mediocre line.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
oh, he didn't.
If he'd had a top-notch, an Ohio State offensive line in front of him, God knows he'd still be running.
Yeah. I mean, I should say best offensive player, not defensive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't
just
think
say that
because
I got in trouble because they ripped Hapkenberg last year, too. So.
Oh, I know. The Penn State fans, they don't
I think
that.
He might do pretty well with the Jets, though. Honestly, Hackenberg.
Is he on the fifth string now?
I thought he might.
Yeah, but it's the Jets. He'll be the starter in about 4 weeks. He'll be number one, right?
If they didn't sign if they didn't sign Fitzpatrick, I think he might have. I mean, he might be better off than Geno there.
Maybe they'll sign Foles. Who knows?
But yeah, I mean, Saquon's just an amazing kid, and somebody. Now everybody will know who he is this time around. The defense will be more prepared, but he's setting weightlifting records at Penn State, and like for somebody for a running back to do that, setting like dead power clean records, it's just pretty amazing.
Yeah, and as Joe was alluding to, he's been saying the right things, he's been doing the right things, he's been active in the community. There were some great stories when he was on the track team.
He did with that kid from Saucon Valley.
Yeah, senior year, he didn't just coast in there. Yeah. He kept playing track. He kept working out.
Yep.
And that dedication is what has really impressed me, is that he's been a dedicated and solid person both on the field and off the field. And I think the whole Valley has now gotten behind him, and they're rooting for him to do well. And I think in that article, he kind of realizes that he's representing the Valley, too. And, you know, he wants to represent Whitehall and the community where he came from.
Similar, I think similar, and I know what you're going to say when I say this, Chris.
Darren Hilliard.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh,
very
I agree.
Similar
he
to
was
what,
in
Darren,
again the other
what
day.
Darren has done in his situation and representing the Valley. And I figure you jump on me because he's a Liberty
you're
kid.
No, you're absolutely
but
right.
I think he's very, very close parallel there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll jump on you for something later.
I'm sure you will.
As far as Penn State, and I'm not going to say anything negative about Penn State.
Why?
But I think, because I told you I got ripped, I said Hackenberg didn't improve the way I think he should have his senior year.
You always tell me that about my comment a couple of years ago, Penn Arger was going to lose a game, and I keep telling you, look.
No, don't bring that
you
up
either,
again.
People either have to understand. Do you want me to tell you? Do you want me to tell you what you want to hear or what I feel?
Well, now I want you to shut up because we have a phone call on the line. So let's, and you're getting heckled by our crew here.
Already.
Let's go to the phone lines. Karen from Allentown wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Karen, welcome to Sports Talk. How are you?
Hi, Karen.
I'm well. How about you?
Oh, we're doing good, except for
me, Karen. He's picking on me already.
Oh. That's a shame.
Yeah, it's pretty
fitting. Hit him harder.
Okay, I will do that. Put him right over my knee here pretty soon.
He also stole my buffalo wings before the show, but we won't talk.
You got an answer for us, Karen?
I have an answer. Drew Bledsoe from the New England Patriots.
You got it right
on a button. Very good.
70 passes.
Yep. 70 passes against the Vikings, November 12th, 1994. I thought this might trip people up because you might remember around 2000 or a few years ago, Vinny Testaverde was on a Christmas Eve game, and on a national broadcast, he threw for 69 passes, and they said he broke the record.
Yep, he came in second.
Yeah, he's actually second because Bledsoe had the record, and they gave out the wrong information on that national
good
broadcast.
Good job. Very good.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, Karen, we'll be in contact with you after the show about the prize.
Thank you. Bye.
Got that one right away. I want to ask you about some of the others.
She made short work out of that one, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Good
you
for
just
her.
Interrupted me a
good
third
for her.
Time.
I'm sorry.
Before we get to the summertime sports, I want to stick with the football theme, too, and ask you a little bit about the Eagles, because I know you follow them. Joe, you're an Eagles homer, and you're very excited about what's happening
I'm
here.
I'm very practical about the
but
Eagles.
They started camp earlier this week. What are some of the things that you're most anxious to see about this Eagles team? Josh, we'll start with you.
Well, I mean, definitely starts with the quarterback position, and I mean, it looks like Sam Bradford will be the guy. I mean, whether the fans want that or not is the question. They want Carson Wentz. I'm sure if Bradford slips up a little bit, they'll be chanting for Carson Wentz right away. But
and he may not be the one that did either.
Or, I mean, and Chase Daniels in
the
mix
exactly.
too.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. There you go.
I mean, he's got a big contract, but I mean, everybody wants Carson Wentz. It seems like, but that's going to be the thing to watch. I mean, throughout the whole training camp and. Of course, Doug Peterson and how he's going to do opening his career as a coach, and will he fall in Andy Reid's footsteps at all, or I mean, what kind of approach will he have?
Yeah,
and
especially if he has a problem with clock management early in the season, I think.
Well, we saw he had some issues in the playoff game for the Chiefs, so that seems to be could be a problem for him. But
I think along with that is how if you know Sam Bradford's going to get hurt at some point.
No, you don't.
When he goes down with an injury. Do you think Doug Peterson will actually say, Chase Daniels is our guy, we're riding him out, and they won't go to Carson Wentz unless Daniels gets injured or just stinks up the joint completely?
What are you asking? Do we think Carson Wentz is going to be the backup? No, he's not the backup. He's going to be the third-string quarterback for a while.
Do you think they will actually
depends on
not
when
bow
he gets
to
hurt.
The pressure?
It depends on when he gets hurt. If he gets hurt in the second week, then Wentz will not be the backup. Now, if that happens in week 10, 11, 12, maybe by that time Wentz will be in a position to do that. But early on, no. But I differ with you guys on that situation. I think Bradford's a decent quarterback, and I think if he stays healthy, and I think with the offensive line they have this year, there's a better possibility that he will stay healthy. With a healthy offensive line, I think Bradford can be a decent quarterback to get Wentz to the point where he can take over.
Well, there's no question the offense is going to be better just because Chip Kelly is not here. And I think, you know, already we're having the players coming out and either kind of slyly say things are better this year or just come right out and say, you know, everything's being run this year. The practices are being run better this year. So there's going to be improvement no matter what,
well,
I think, just by having Kelly not here.
Let's talk to the players after they've had 2 weeks of hitting 3 and 4 days a week. Let's see, because they're going to hit more under this coach.
Well, don't you think that's a good idea? I mean, they didn't hit last year until the first
Absolutely.
Exhibition
game. I don't know how you can do that just playing thud. I don't know if you guys know what thud is, but how you can practice every day just thud and skeleton and not hit. I mean, you got to do some hitting, even on a pro level, I believe.
Yep. As far as the other Eagles, any kind of interesting storylines? I know Fletcher Cox, they certainly did the right thing in locking him up, but what are some of the other stories that you're watching for the Eagles this year?
Oh, well, I mean, one guy who jumps up to me is the, I know he's been in the news for a different, Nelson Aguilar. He's been in the news for different reasons, not the ones he wants. But, he kind of has to really, he's a guy
forward.
To watch because, I mean, he's a first-round pick, I believe, and just he has to step up. He really did not, he was kind of disappeared a lot of last year. Yeah. And he's going to be the number two receiver. It looks that way. And they really need him to step up and hopefully get these, stop talking about his legal issues and he starts focusing on football and gets ready to have a good season, because that would be somebody. Their receiving core might not be the, on paper it doesn't look like the strongest aspect of their team, and they need to, he needs to step up and help that.
Do you think that was a product of Kelly's offense, or was he just that bad last year?
No. That's hard to say. I mean, you know, I think it was partially a product of the offense because, it was, who had time to think about anything the way that raw offense was bang, bang,
you
bang,
loved
bang,
Kelly
bang.
Last year.
No. Let's not go crazy here, okay? He had his problems with what he was doing. And I think one of the most interesting things to watch this year, to be quite honest, is who's going to, this is a team that's got 40, 50 middle of the road average, maybe a little better than average players. There's no big, big superstar on this team. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see who's going to take over. Who's going to be the leaders on this team? I think that could be the thing that's going to dictate their success. Who takes over? You know, to take the role.
Because defensively,
I
think they have some.
Well, I don't know about that. I know they've got Connor Barwin and they've got the one defensive back. But you know, offensively, who's going to take over? Bradford doesn't strike me as being a big leader.
No.
And I don't see any 1,500-yard running backs, and I don't see any wide receivers that are going to catch 70 passes, and I don't see it. Ertz is probably the closest thing to a bona fide threat that they have.
And actually, Peterson, he really took advantage of the tight ends when he was in Kansas City.
Yeah,
that's what he likes to one area of the field he likes to go to. So Ertz should have a good year, I would think.
He's got two good ones, actually three. I think all three of them are pretty decent. So that'll be an interesting situation.
And I would think you would agree with me, Sam Bradford being allowed to audible will be a huge improvement.
Oh, yeah.
I still can't believe that they went the whole season and did not allow him to do that last year.
Well, it's that offense. That's the way, you know, when you get an egocentric guy running the offense who's not going to let anybody else do anything, that's what you get. Yeah. Am I right? I mean, you cover him.
You never said a negative word about him when Kelly was here. Chip Kelly,
that's just not
it's
true.
It's bad enough you flip-flop
Chris, you
on
have
high school
a, you
stuff.
Have a, you have a mind that just amazes me sometimes.
All right. Anything else to watch as far as Eagles camp?
That was kind the way I said that.
Yes. You're never kind. Things to watch at Eagles camp.
The leadership thing. I want to see how the linebackers perform without Ryan's in there now and see if this this linebacker core can match up and do what it has to do. Offensively, I still want to see the wide receiver situation. And how are they going to use Sproles? He's a year older. He's a year more brittle. How are they going to use him? He's going to be an important part of this offense. And I think that's going to dictate a lot of, not a lot of their success, but a good part of their success, I think.
Yeah. Can I pin you guys down for a win-loss total?
I'll give you mine. I know mine.
Yeah, 16-0.
8-8.
8-8. I think 7-9.
Because I really, the whole division is kind of up for grabs. I mean, you know, the people in Washington.
Well, the Giants
are,
a much improved football team. Giants are going to be better, I think. And if the quarterback stays healthy in Dallas, I think Dallas will be decent. Yeah. Washington certainly has shown flashes. If they get better defensively, I think Washington could scare you. I don't think that division is going to be that weak, to be honest with you. And the Eagles, you know, that's not going to be an easy division. I think it's a fairly strong division, quite frankly.
Don't you agree they improve, though? Just
now,
who's
improved?
Big question is with the Eagles is they got rid of some big names.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a retooling year? You don't want to say rebuild because I think they're going to be in the hunt for playoffs. But do you expect them to just improve overall based on the moves that they made and you have Peterson here? Or are they probably going to need a time before they're serious division challengers?
Josh,
well, I think in this division, I don't know how good the division is. I think it'd be up for grabs kind of.
Right away.
It seems like they could play a factor right away in it. I mean, yeah. Tony Romo returning for the Cowboys, that is going to, I mean, if he stays healthy, I mean, they're a pretty good team. But if he, like we saw last year, if he goes out.
They got problems. Of course, Nick Foles might be the backup. Who knows? Then
depends.
You might get double duty.
He's your buddy again.
Yeah.
You should bring him in.
Yeah. I quite frankly think the Eagles are going to finish third in the division.
Really?
I think they're going to finish behind Washington and New York. And if Dallas's quarterback stays healthy, I think they could finish fourth in the division. I just don't see them winning a lot of games. I think it's a rebuilding year. I think a lot is going to happen with the quarterback situation, and they're 2 years away from being a bona fide threat to win things,
just win things. Just remember, people in Washington, Joe picked the Redskins to finish last year.
Redskins, look at the Redskins.
You were ripping
I'm not
them
saying
last
this
year.
Because we have our friends in Washington that watch our show. They are an improved.
Dead
they
last
are
a, five wins.
But not this year. They
no,
are,
last
they're
year.
An improved
just for
team.
The record, I'm putting that
they're
out.
They're offensively, let me tell you, they're going to put points up. And if they've improved defensively, which I think they have from what I've seen, I think they could be a real threat in the division. I really do.
All right, we're going to have more NFL talk with our roundtable segment coming later on. And also we're going to talk some local sports, both looking ahead to the fall sports season and talking about some summer events going on in eastern Pennsylvania as well. Coming up in just a couple minutes. Right now I got to tell you about the big deal. This is the last week, I believe, for it. 20% off the great new Panos restaurant, 7200 Airport Road, just a couple minutes north of the ABE Airport. It has become the place for the greatest cheesesteak anywhere. On authentic Philly-style cheesecake, they give it to you on a big cheesesteak. They give it to you on a big, fresh roll filled with mouth-watering steak. They load it up. It's not one of these places that give you a mini little roll and then some meat in the side. This is mouth-watering steak, perfectly melted cheese. It is the best cheesesteak, and you can have it with a 20% off your bill just when you say you saw this ad on RCN. You can also talk about their buffalo wings. Joe stole some of mine today, and more importantly, the crew had some. They gave it a big thumbs up. They've been working their way up from honey mustard to barbecue to hot, and then sweet and sweaty, and ground zero's coming up next. So
watching our crew eat tonight tells me that the food's really good because they went through that like a million locusts crossing a wheat field. That's how fast that food went.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment, but
that's
I'll take
a compliment.
It.
Outstanding. Very good. The wings were great.
Yeah, I know. You stole mine. And by the way, don't forget about the pizza. I think you were too full before we got to the pizza, but they have genuine New York-style pizza. People in this area love the New York-style pizzas. Check that all out. Check it out for yourself, the menu items. And again, last time for this, the final offer, 20% off your bill when you check out Panos Restaurant, 7200 Airport Road. They're located 3 miles north of the ABE Airport. Also, make sure you can call ahead for pickup orders. They deliver. And don't forget to like Panos on Facebook. Last chance, 20% off your offer when you go to Panos and you mention RCN Sports Talk. More of tonight's show in just a moment.
Now's your chance to interact with us.
Call, email, or tweet us your sports comments, questions, and opinions.
We want to hear from you right now. And now, here's more RCN Sports Talk.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special in-studio guest, Josh Folk, joining Joe Craig and myself. Joe, why are you so tough on everyone during the commercial breaks? And then you come out here, I'm a nice guy. Chris picks on me.
I try to be nice.
No, you don't.
Now, people that know me know that I am a nice person.
You're one of your friends.
You always paint these pictures of me. One of my friends, what?
Do you want me to bring up the email? Do you want me to bring up the email about one of your good friends calling you a name?
No. Oh, I don't remember a name. I remember a criticism about something.
The fact that
is that the one you're referring to?
All
right, let's go. We have a show to do. We'll worry about that.
Yeah, I want to talk about local sports over the summer because there's been a lot of great action, I think. And Josh, you were as I said earlier, you were out at a basketball tournament one day, and then the next day you're covering a soccer tournament too.
Yeah.
So what are some of the sports that you've been covering, and talk about some of the things that have stuck out in your mind the last few weeks?
Well, I mean, I was at the Sports Fest, Sports Fest A-Town Throwdown in Cedar Beach. That came a week after the Stellar tournament at Cedar Beach. So it was just so many games. I mean, 4 days of just games all over the place there, and then it whittles down to the final 16 for both the boys and girls side on Sunday. It ended up Liberty boys won against Whitehall.
Both weekends, actually.
Yeah, they made the Final Four the week before, and they came from behind, 17 points down against Whitehall. Yeah. And won in the final. That was a really exciting game. And then also had the dunk contest in there with in between the girls game, which was won by Nazareth. Beat Northampton.
They were down 10-0 to start, and they came back.
Tessa Brugler, who just verbally committed to Bucknell, she had a nice game in that. And, I mean, Asia Blunt for Northampton had a big tournament for them throughout the whole tournament. And just put up big points. I mean, 20 points and 30 points in different games. But in the dunk contest might have been the star of the weekend for that Sports Fest. Talik Williams came back. He couldn't play for Allen in the tournament, but he came back to participate in the dunk contest and made the crowd go crazy with the jumping over a road barricade there and winning the title. But also David Calcaries from Emmaus, he really surprised me, and I know he could dunk like that. I don't know if I ever saw that, but he did a great job and really gave Talik all he could handle and was very impressive in that dunk contest.
Yeah, I was impressed by David because he's about 6 feet. I mean, he can get up there with guys that are 6'5", 6'6", in there. And you know, I think there were certainly some people who felt David might have won that contest. But when you have a roadblock out there and you jump over it, I guess that's more flashy.
Talik had a couple more tries than David in that, and David seemed to make most of his attempts and had some help from his twin brother in the one. And
I shudder when I think of that kind of stuff in summer league, because you know I can just imagine being the Allen head coach or the Emmaus head coach and watching your star player go up the dunk and come down on his wrist or something like that. And all that
guys are used to
make
doing
me
that.
Nervous. I know. I'm
just all that court though. It was people were packed and lined up in the
plus those outdoor courts. Those outdoor courts are macadam usually, and they aren't. They have little cinders on them, and they can be pretty slippery, and they're dangerous.
And you know, you were talking about Tessa Brugler and Asia Blunt. I said last year during the girls' basketball season, I think this is as competitive a basketball area.
Yeah.
Both bigger schools and smaller schools. You look back, there was at least 7 or 8 Division I players last year on teams in our coverage area. Most of those players are coming back. I'm really excited about the girls' basketball season coming up.
And
we saw why with some great games over the summer.
Yeah. I mean, Nazareth just keeps on. Even whether it's the district championships or now these, I think they won the Holy Family tournament earlier in the summer too.
Yeah.
And they won the Sports Fest title.
They beat Easton, I think. In that.
Yeah. So they, I mean, get some good teams. Easton, Northampton, they win some titles, and they seem to. Jess Dernan's another good player for them.
Oh yeah.
Rich Bicker just really keeps those girls going all year round, and they seem to love to. Rack up the titles, whether it's the winter or the summer or whenever they get a chance.
Yeah, I think that's going to be Coach Pickard's tough role this year because he has so many players. There was 8 different players he could run the offense through. But, I mean, he was finding everyone and running the offense through different people, and it was really fun to watch. Before we get to the roundtable, though, I want to ask something, and it has become a big favorite for Joe and myself and people throughout the area. Is that your football compilation preview that you come out with before the season starts? The season's starting earlier this year, so of course that's more work for you and the staff at the Express Times, but are you going to have it out next year, and when should we expect that?
We will have it out. I am not exactly sure the date on that, but I believe it's the Sunday before Friday night, so August 20, I don't know the exact Sunday there, August 20th or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But I think that's when it's coming out in the print edition. We have to get started on early with all, this is the earliest start I can remember for football season in a while. And but we will have that, and hopefully everyone enjoys it. It takes a lot of work from everybody.
Sunday's the 21st.
Okay.
August 21st.
That's when it is.
Well, you guys do a great job with it. Joe steals a lot of information, by the way. So, Joe, you might want to pay Josh before he leaves
here. I use these guys all the time. I mean, it's where we get a lot of our information. It's not easy.
All right. And in a minute, I might pin you down here on the roundtable. One of our roundtable topics is about high school football. So we'll be asking for a prediction for just from Josh and Joe here in just a minute. Right now, it is the roundtable, and that's where we have a variety of local, regional, national sports topics to throw at our panelists and discuss. As always, you can weigh in. Send us an email or join us on social media with your comments to our roundtable topics. All right, topic number one, we'll start off with the NFL. Besides Sam Bradford, who will be the Eagles' player most under pressure, the one player that has to do well this year, either to carry the team or to save his job? Joe, we'll start with you.
Well, I will throw the name Doug Ertz out there. I think that tight end situation, or I mean, I'm thinking of his dad who played at Lehigh. Zach Ertz, who I think has to have a good year, and I think there's going to be a lot of pressure for him to perform.
Okay. I mentioned him earlier, Nelson Aguilar was the receiver. He has to have a good year. But I'll throw someone else out there because Fletcher Cox with that, I mean, a huge contract. He was amazing last year, but with all that money on his shoulders, now there's more pressure on him that he really has to carry that
defense. He has a little more help, though.
Yeah.
He's got a little more help.
Yeah, and everyone was calling for it, and I'm glad that they did extend him. I was worried at first with Howie Roseman when he first took over that he might try to nickel and dime him, but you're right. If he has a bad year, like a really bad year, I mean, he's going to feel some heat. All right, topic number two, what's the most intriguing storyline to look for this fall? Can be high school, college, or at the professional level. Josh, what storyline do you think will deserve the most attention?
Well, I was just thinking about the high school football. I mean, there's going to be a lot of top stars that teams will have to replace. I mean, Notre Dame, Trey Jordan, they have to replace Trey Jordan, and Nazareth was going to be out, Jahan Dotson, and Parkland.
Leaving earlier than expected.
Parkland without Devontae Cross. I mean, there's a lot of... Just a lot of big names to replace and different some of the top schools of last year, top teams last year. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond after losing some of the big weapons from last year.
It's a good one. Joe?
The fan tolerance of the Eagles football quarterback situation, I think, is going to be a big story this fall. Just how patient are they going to be? And I think that's something a lot of people are going to watch.
Now, earlier you said if Sam Bradford's going to stay healthy.
Right.
So.
If he stays, well, that's what I'm saying.
So they won't have to.
Well, one thing you can bet on about Philadelphia, if Bradford stays healthy, there'll still be fans jumping, wanting that change. That's why it's an intriguing subject.
If they're winning.
Oh, how long have you been around Philadelphia?
If they're winning, they don't care.
Yeah,
the Eagles
right.
fans will be happy as long as Bradford
is. Well, first of all, they're not going to win every game. And they're going to be, even if Bradford's having a decent year, it's interesting to see how the fans are going to tolerate it.
That is true. All right, topic number three, we're bearing down on the Olympics. And by the way, we're going to be off next week, but in our place we're going to have a show we did a few months ago with Marty Nostein and Joetta Clark Diggs, two former Olympians, to talk about their careers and the Olympics coming up. So that'll be next week. But right now, Josh and Joe, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate your excitement for the Rio Olympic Games.
I'll just say 5. I don't know. I'm not too up for it, but I mean, it's always one local guy's in it. Joe Kovacs. I mean, that's one.
Yeah.
He'll be in the shot put from Becca, and they went to Penn State. So that's somebody that would raise some interest around here. And I think all the swimming. I mean, Michael Phelps is going to be. That's one guy everyone watches. I think to see in his last summer games how he's going to perform.
Yeah. Or will it be his last one? Because he's pulled that before.
Yeah.
All right, Joe?
Normally it would be very high because I love the Olympics.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
It's a special time. But I think this time, because of the Zika situation, and some of the top athletes in the country, in the world, aren't going to compete because of the Russian situation, where many of their athletes aren't going to be allowed to perform. I'm putting my interest around a 5 or a 6, but it'll probably get higher as we get there.
All right. And before we go to break, one of the emails here, Dom is saying, have you guys heard about pickleball, fastest growing sport in the U.S.? I don't think that's an Olympic event, but I've heard of it. I don't even know what it is, though.
I've heard of it, too, and I'm trying to picture what it was.
Well, Joe, since we're off next week, do some research on pickleball.
I'll research that one, pickleball.
In 2 weeks, we'll talk about that. Yep. All right, coming up in a couple weeks, our last show of the summer from Buffalo Wild Wings, and our special guest on the show will be the Copley Summertime Baseball players past and present. And we'll have some former coaches, players, volunteers, people that have worked at Balliet Stadium for decades, talking about some special memories at Sam Balliet Stadium. And we're going to have some players of the up-and-coming teams. The Blue Mountain League team, if they're not in a playoff game that night, they look to be there. We're also going to have the Connie Mack team there, and we're hoping to have the Legion team there as well. So if you have anyone on the Copley, Connie Mack Legion, or a Blue Mountain League teams, we'd love to have you come out. Thursday, August 18th, the show is from 7 to 8 p.m. All the special guests are going to be there by 6:30 at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall. It's part of a Dine and Donate program. You can go to the RCN TV website and print out the link there for the charity event, and we're going to see you out there. It's going to benefit the Dream Come True organization. So Thursday, August 18th. Also, a quick plug for some other big upcoming shows we have here. Our next show is in 2 weeks. We're going to have a Blue Mountain League playoff special. They're going to be right in the middle of their playoffs. By the way, tonight's games have been postponed, moved back till tomorrow. And then after the Buffalo Wild Wings show on August 18th, we're going to have 3 big hours of high school football previewing the season. The first official preview show will be the Thursday before the first game on the 25th. And then the shows on the 30th and 31st will be out at the fair from 6 to 7 o'clock. We will have that show on RCN, but it will be shown on a tape delay. So if you want to see it live, you have to come out to the Allentown Fair August 30th and 31st. For our high school primer shows number 2 and number 3, and then on September 1st out at the fair, our reunion show featuring the 1966 undefeated Parkland football team. More of tonight's Up RCN Sports Talk show in just a moment. Welcome back once again to RCN Sports Talk. Our special in-studio guests, Josh Folk, joining Joe Craig and myself. Special thanks to Tim Shovers of the Redskins Radio Network, who joined us during segment number 1. We're right in the middle of the round table, and we're going to continue topic number 4. What was the biggest Lehigh Valley summer sports story? Josh?
Well, since I just recently covered this, I'll go to Liberty. I talked about their basketball team came back and beat Whitehall in that Sports Fest final, but also their soccer team beat Northwestern in the Lehigh Valley Summer Soccer League Championship. And so a couple championships there for Liberty, and good momentum builder for the fall for soccer and for the winner and for the basketball team.
I heard a lot of people talking about the soccer. Was there a lot of people at those events?
Yeah, there was. It was at Lehigh, at the fields over at Lehigh next to Stabler Arena. There was pretty good crowd.
Joe, how about you? Biggest summertime story?
I think the Iron Pigs roster and the intriguing situation where some of their guys, you don't know if they're going to be there much longer. The way the Phillies are playing, they're going to have to take Williams and a couple of these other guys, Altier. I think some of those guys are going to go up. And the fact that they then will probably plug in some of the best players from Reading into the AAA for the last few weeks. So I think that roster is an intriguing story.
Oh, by the way, Dom emailed me again. He says, pickleball will be an exhibition sport in the 2020 Olympics.
Good. We got to find out what pickleball is.
Yeah, we'll do some research.
No, I will. I'll find out.
All right. Topic number 5. Josh, you won't do it. Don't worry. Topic number 5, long-range prediction. Who's going to be the Colonial League champs? We did this with the EPC a couple weeks ago, so Colonial League champions.
It's between two teams, Notre Dame and Saucon Valley, but I'll go with Notre Dame. Both teams lose, a lot of their weapons there, but... It's Phil Stanball's first year, but he had a big influence on the team last year as well, and he always seems to do a good job coaching teams and getting them to play to the best ability. So I think Notre Dame might have the edge in the league.
Yeah, and Chuck Mueller, who was the head coach, is now at Saucon Valley.
That's an interesting story.
We were on our show.
The reverse. I say Saucon Valley on the basis that they've got an awful lot of their linemen back, and that was a great offensive and defensive front last year. Most of them are back. That's going to be a big difference. And if they falter, then I think Notre Dame may be the answer.
All right. Quick email here. Carl says, Eagles will win 5 games. Wentz will be in the lineup by week 13. So, Carl, thank you for that prediction. Probably more accurate than Joe's. Topic number 6, revisiting the Wentz thing. Now that some time has passed, did the Eagles make the right decision giving up all those players to move up to get Carson Wentz? Or could they have stayed at number 8 and possibly gotten him? Josh, do you still like that move?
No, I don't. I mean, Carson Wentz, the fans are all excited about him, but he did not have the most experience. I mean, he played at lower level, not Division One.
Division
I mean,
one AA,
or so formerly known
so
as Division One AA.
So did Ben Roethlisberger, too.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it just seems like a big risk to a certain extent. But I mean, I guess we'll see. It's just it's going to be interesting to see how his career plays out after that big risk.
What was that snide comment you made?
I said that so did Ben Roethlisberger.
He wasn't picked that high.
I thought
though.
You
no,
were taking
I know,
a
but
shot
I'm just saying, you know, he made it pretty well, and so did a couple other guys.
I was worried you were taking a shot at lower
I think I'm okay with the move. I think you got to have a top level quarterback if you want to be successful. And you look at the great teams; they all have that kind of a quarterback.
All right, and let's. Do we have time for Stone Cold Lock? Let's do Stone Cold Lock here, last 30 seconds of the program. This is where you guarantee something in local, regional, or national sports comes true. Josh, what's your Stone Cold
Lock? Well, it's not really comes true, but I was thinking, I saw the Cubs have I think they have the best record in baseball. I say they still will not win the World Series. They will not win the World Series. I just don't, the curse is too big to overcome there.
Joe, real quick, 5 seconds.
I would agree with that one, but I think no. Let me finish. I think the Nationals will be the National
League
champions.
Josh, thanks so much for being here, Joe. You're overtime.
Nationals,
we'll see
National
you
League champions.
RCN Sports Talk. Good night, everyone.